something about Sfiras HaOmer, the mitzvah of these days that we're all involved in, that unites different segments of the Torah population. The population of Jews who are living with Torah consciousness. Is that there's a certain level of preparation. Everybody's singing that song. Even those Jews who are careful not to say L'Shem Yichud before other mitzvahs. I mean, it's printed in the art scroll. It's printed in the art scroll. There's something about these days. There's something about these mitzvahs, the opportunities of these days, that comes along with some preparation. The preparation, the chana. I wanted Erev Rosh Chodesh, to talk about, I don't know, how I'm trying to prepare for this coming opportunity. Rabbi Schneider said, every day is an opportunity, every moment is an opportunity, every week with the Parsha is an opportunity, the Zman is going to wake up a certain availability and accessibility of holiness and Avodas Hashem, according to the week, according to the month, according to Yom Tov. I thought just to share for a few minutes a little bit about some of the days that are ahead of us as a L'Shem Yichud, so to speak, as a Hinni Muchan Muzuma, like as a Kavana. Kavana literally means, it's not rhetorical, Kavana literally means
Intent.
L'chavein means, l'chavein actually means direction. To be l'chavein an instrument, the modern Hebrew means to tune it, so that it gets the right sound, the right direction, the right, it's to maximize, to bring out the fullest sound and the deepest effect and the utmost potential of that vessel, of that instrument. There's an act of kavana beforehand. The same way we orient ourselves in a certain direction toward our ultimate goal, which is L'Shem Yichud Kud Shabrichu, L'Yachad Shim Yudke Vavke Chud Hashlim. However you want to understand that mystically or practically, the goal of a Jew always is to be Me'achad, to be Mekad Hashem Shammai. Always. During Elul, and during Kislev, during Nisan, and during Cheshvan. Each time, in its own way. One of the ways that we kind of recognize that Friday night is not Tuesday night is by saying what goes on that night, practically, what's happening, what happened in history on that night, what's the context of that day, of that week, of that month, so that we can properly be mechavein, tune the instrument, ourselves, to be able to bring out the fullest song, to be ma'arek fod shamayim, to be mi'achet shem Hashem. On a very basic level, I don't want to share anything, you know, to any chidushim. Just in my own way, this is some notes that I jotted down, some thoughts about the month, that over the years, never learning Tanakh, or slowly and hopefully more surely than Rav Bas was a little challenging, but slowly but surely going through learning, you know, Jewish texts, Gemara, Torah Shemalpeh, Torah Shemalpeh. When there's different mentions of different times, try to take note of it so that when we get to that time, we could become more aware. These days of Sfiras HaOmer, the Ramban basically lays out that they're days of Chol Hamoed between Pesach and Shavuos, from a time of attaining our national liberation to attaining our national purpose. 49 days that we're counting Sfartim Lachem. It's a Sipur, there's a story, but it also comes from a Lashon Sapir, that there's some polishing of a diamond that's taking place. Right? There's some polishing that's taking place, some fixing, some rectification, inner working, in order to bring us, me'avdus, to the ultimate Cheirus, which is being Mekabel Torah at Har Sinai. And for these days, sure, also parallel to the Sheva Nekiyim, these 7 weeks of us, so to speak, going through a process of restoring intimacy between us and the Ribono Shel Olam, like days of Chol Hamoed, so to speak, they're elevated, they're special. And there's a focus and the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, rectification of mitzvos, of drawing close to one another. As Shlomo Melech, the wisest of men, says, if we would yearn after Torah the way we want money, maybe it's not something you're thinking about so much, but one day, God willing, you'll have a mashkanta. One day, God willing, your family will outgrow your car. One day, God willing, you'll have children who need stuff. You say amen to all those things. One day, you'll know what it is to go to Osherad and have to think about two carts. You're going to say, okay, where's the geld? So Shlomo Melech knew that. He was the wisest of men. He knew that. He had a very large family and a lot of stuff going on in his house. I don't know what kind of mortgage he had, but he certainly had a lot of business to take care of at home. He said, not just talking to Jews who were on the first day of their Zman, of Kaitz Zman, but in Tavakshenek of Kesef. If we want our Torah and our Yerushalayim, we want it as much as we would want the money, Uchmat Monim, and we wanted it like we would want coins, Techapsena, we'd search after it the way we search after you drop a $5,000 bill and you start looking around quickly to find it. As Tavin, then we'd understand and we'd get it. Tamino Moshem Tov said there's a little remez here also. Kemat Monim is Mentes Monim. The counting of the 49 days of Sfiras Olmer, a little bit of that search, of that wanting after currency to do business with the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, to get with HaKadosh Baruch. The way that we're preparing for Kabbalah Satorah, learning Torah, you're sitting in Yeshiva, learning Torah. The way to know God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lays it out. Know my ways, and here's my Torah to navigate my inner world. And in the course of that, there's a world that's unfolding around us. As much as there's an inner working, the Mem Tesmon, we're counting the 49 midas of Hashem, Chesed, Bur, Teferes, and every day trying to think about something different, and maybe have the book or the app. Whereas we're dealing with this inner working, there's also something taking place in the world around us. That same desire, that same yearning, that same preparation for Matan Torah is taking place in the world around us, in the country around us, and in the universe. So I wanted to just get into that a little bit. Let's find where we are. You come somewhere, you want to see, okay, where do I go? How do I get there? So you look for that big map, Woodbury Commons. You ever see the ladies from Monroe standing by Woodbury Commons at the drive by? It's either Koreans or Satmar ladies looking at that gigantic map in the front, like, you are here. Okay, they find you are here, and then you can see there's this store and that outlet store and that outlet store. But you first have to find the you are here. So, where are we? On Erev Rosh Chodesh Iyar, in Tav Shanayin Zayin, 5777. So when a Jew wants to know where they are, we take three steps back, and then we take three steps forward, and then we stand with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We always create some type of context for us. Take a little steps back, and then we take a little steps forward, and then we can find our place where we are now. Let's look to the Torah to understand what's happening during the year. What's going on during the year? So the Sfiras HaOmer is what's on everybody's mind. What happened historically during the month of Iyar? In Jewish history. Go all the way back as far as we can. Open it up. Anybody? Anybody have a bar mitzvah? Sefer Bamidbar. Parsha Bamidbar. Maybe the Shana Bet, maybe the Shnai Mikra on Bamidbar last year.
Episode of Balak?
Huh?
Balak?
The episode of Balak isn't Sefer Bamidbar, that's correct.
And plus the Gabbanos.
Interesting. Could be. I don't remember. I don't know if it has that date there.
Of
an year. Yeah. What? I mean, year in that parsha talks about all the Olamot. Talks about all the Olamot. Pesach Sheni happens. Excellent. Pesach Sheni happens. Excellent. Pesach Sheni. Beautiful. Pesach Sheni. According to Torah. We'll get to it. Where else? What else in the Midbar? The Pasuk says in the very, very beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, the Midbar Sinai, the first psukim of the Sefer, Kodesh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe, Ba'ol Moi, Be'echa v'chodesh Hasheni, B'shana Hasheni, Satzei Samer Tzitzrayim. On the second year after Yitzias Mitzrayim. The second year after Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, Mi v'mi olchem, who's here? Who do you got? You're on a big tiyul. They're setting on a large tiyul. You have a count off system, a body system. You count on the bus before you go. You stop off for ice cream when you're in the Negev. Before your bus goes, you count to make sure that everybody's there. You go on Suwa, Machach, or whatever, Stechemet, or whatever it may be. You count before the bus goes to the next place. You count who's there. A census. The census, Reb Tzadok HaKohen explains, was Hashem's way of telling Klal Yisrael, listen, I know that we had a little bit of a rough patch over here. I know that maybe disappointed and think and know that I'm disappointed in you and the mistakes that were made. So we didn't go straight from Mitzrayim into Eretz Yisrael, but we went to Yam Suf and then right back to the same side of the beach, and now schlepping around the Midbar for the next couple of decades until everybody dies out who are involved in the Chait. So you can imagine that there's some tension over there. You can imagine there's some sense of guilt, some sense of potential distance. So Tzadok explains that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe is not just a technical thing. Know the census, how many people, how many kids, how many adults, how many women, how many men. So we can know how many main dishes to order, or we could know, you know, how many buses we need to have to get us to the next place. But the definition or the essence of a census, of counting, is that Reb Tzadok says, Hashem is telling Moshe, go to every Jew, Tzadok, your job is the Tzadok, your job is as the center of the community, is to go to every individual and say, you matter, and you matter, and you're important, and you're part of it, and you're part of it. To count individuals, so to speak, so that every individual knows that they are part of something bigger, that they are part of this movement called Klal Yisrael, that they're part of this experience called world history, called destiny. Some created a world for a purpose. It doesn't stop. Ink didn't just fall, somebody lay down and fall asleep on a keyboard and the novel get written and the ink blocks make up what we see around us. There's rhyme and reason. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu in the context of this sense of the Jewish people being in the Midbar and perhaps feeling a sense of like, what's my role in this? Ribbono Shalom is letting Moshe Rabbeinu know, first things first, everyone matters. Rav Soloveitchik talks often about different dimension of sanctity, of holiness. Holiness exists in Kabbalah, it's called Ashan, Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. There's time, and there's space, and then there's how that is manifest in the internal world of the individual. They're holy times, and they're holy places. Certain space and certain time. And when those intersect, you know that we have, you know, that we're hitting, you know, you're hitting lottery. The three cherries come up in the slot machine. Here, the beginning of that, they're in the Midbar. It was the beginning of the month of Iyar. You know, what's going on in Iyar in the Midbar? Not Pesach, not Shavuos. We're just kind of like schlepping things along until the next step, no? It's like an in-between kind of a time. And one might think that like, oh, you know, the middle child syndrome, it's just kind of like, oh, I'm stuck in between. I'm not with the older kids, I'm not with the younger kids, they don't really love me. I'm not Pesach, not Shavuos. So if we're not getting the Torah, we're not leaving Egypt, what's the middle? It's just filler. So let's like make a whole to-do out of like, what, a day? Comes Moshe Rabbeinu and begins counting Klal Yisrael, establishes the sanctity of the individual, of every person, of the every man, of every single person having a place and having a role and counting, that everyone matters. In order to unlock Kedushas HaMakom, in order to unlock Kedushas HaZman, in order for Shabbos to really be meaningful, in order for Yerushalayim to be meaningful, in order to have a moving tour in Hebron, or a special Shabbos in Sfat, you first have to believe that we matter. In order for Hanukkah to be special, in order for Purim to be a day that's meaningful, in order for Kedushas HaZman to really take effect, or Kedushas HaMakom to really mean something, first things first, you count. Every single one in Klal Yisrael counts. 480 years later, 480 years later, when Klal Yisrael are already dwelling in the land of Israel, Vayhi b'shmonim shana v'arba me'o shana l'tzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. 480 years after Yitzias Mitzrayim, and it's Sefer Melachim, Navi specifically points out how many years since Mitzrayim. You ever notice how like we're a nation that's obsessed with referencing past? Every single Friday night, talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Brias Ha'olam, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Brias Ha'olam, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then we're talking about what's going to be in the future. What about? Because in order to appreciate where we are and what we're about to experience, Kedusha Shabbos, or anything we're doing, 3 steps back, 3 steps forward. Know what came before us without knowing that Hashem created the world and that there's Yitzias Mitzrayim, so then what's Shabbos? What's ER if we don't know that 480 years after Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Chodesh Ziv, during the month of Ziv, what's the month of Ziv mean? Ziv? I think he did Nefesh. He sang it Friday, maybe, depending how Heimish or Shul you're going to be. Sing it before Shabbos or Chal Shabbos. Sometimes both, depending on that. Ziv, Allah, what's Ziv? Literally, the Navi refers to this to the month of Ziv, the month of light. In that month of Ziv, B'chodesh HaSheni, in the second month, meaning the month of Iyar, which is the month of Ziv, during the second year of Shlomo HaMelech's rule, Vayivan Habayis Lashem, the Beis HaMikdash was built. Vayivan Habayis Lashem, Shlomo HaMelech constructed the temple. It's in Sefer Melachim, Perek Vav. And the house that Shlomo built, Habayis Rabban HaMelech, Shlomo Hashem, Shishan Amin, and then all the details, how big it was, how wide it was, the Rochev and the height. Vayivan as a chatzer apnimis bashana revius. It took literally 2 years for the construction to take place. It was a schlep. And Shlomo HaMelech had all the kaplanim he could have taken care of. Shlomo HaMelech had all the money in the world, literally. There was no one in the world who didn't want to make Shlomo HaMelech happy. There wasn't politics. There wasn't hack involved. Shlomo HaMelech could have gotten the thing done as quickly as possible. It took 2 years from the time that the Pasuk says that in the second month of Chodesh Ziv, in a month of light, of illumination, Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. It took 2 years till Shana HaRevius, Yusad Beis Hashem, B'Yerech Ziv. Until it was established during the month of Ziv, a month of light, which is the month of Iyar. So now we know, historically speaking, Klal Yisrael received the affirmation that even after we make a mistake, and even after we fall out of grace, so to speak, with God, in not fulfilling Ratzon Hashem, and receiving our punishment, Hashem still wants us, and counts us, and is counting on us. And during the year 480 years later, in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, they built the Beis HaMikdash. Was it built? Were the foundations laid? Yusad is the name of the way that the Navi uses. Yusad literally means like the foundations. But in the foundations is already considered the building. The first Beis HaMikdash. Amazingly, after Churban Bayis, after the destruction of the temple, and Golus, Klal Yisrael goes out into exile, when we come back during the days of Ezra, anybody know what was going on during those days? What was happening during the days of Ezra? Were those good days for the Jewish people? What did it look like?
Destruction.
Yeah, there were a lot of people. I mean, it wasn't long. I mean, you're talking 70 years. Yesterday's Yom HaShoah, there were people talking about how the people still were in the gas chambers. People were in the ghettos. Are still alive today. How many years is that? Yeah, same time frame, just about, right? From the time of Churban Bayis Rishon until the restoration of Bayit Sheni is just about the time from after the Holocaust until today. Just about. Yeah, talking about a whole lot of time. Your grandparents are still alive then, yeah? Those grandparents are still alive. So during that second temple period, during Ezra, What did the world of Torah observance look like? Just what did it look like? You give me thumbs down. Why? What were the Jews doing? Huh? Well, the Navi talks about rampant assimilation and intermarriage. They took Babylonian, they took wives, they took Babylonian wives. But what else? They were being Nana from the Suda of Ahasuerus. And even though Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who we'll get to, is Malamed Zchus and says, no, it was really not just on the outside, it was an outside act, things didn't look very good. They were Nana from the Suda of Ahasuerus, eating off the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, and we sing those psukim in the tune of Echa on Purim. Because Ahasuerus was celebrating the end of the relationship between God and the Jewish people, and the end of the story. Temple not being rebuilt, 7 years has passed, according to the Cheshbon and the Gemara, he figured it out, until the Tzaddik rises up and says, no, there's still hope. But what was going on in those days were days of Yish, of idolatry, of Babylonian wives, of idolatrous wives, of rampant intermarriage. And during those days, Shana Hashenis Levar Mal Beis Elokim L'Yerushalayim, Ezra led the Jewish people back. It took a little time for there to be some turnaround. He brought them back to Beis Elokim L'Yerushalayim B'Chodesh Hasheni. It was in the second month that they began the process of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. If there's something that we've learned at all in our lives, as Jews, that there's not coincidences. Okay, there are Rishonim that talk that there's different structure in Tanakh and there's different literary devices that are used and whatever. But for those who are trying to live with open eyes and open ears and open hearts to what's happening in Jewish history, so we know that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah talks about these days of Iyar, of Chodesh Ziv, being days where there's birth, where there's light that's coming into the world. The reason why the Gemara says Chodesh Iyar, the second month, is called Ziv, is Shinola Bo Zivasen, Zivasen Olam. The beacons of light to the world were born into the world. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Rachel Imeinu, Osir's Iyar, were born during this month. They came into the world to illuminate, to radiate God consciousness, to broadcast the Ribono Shel Olam into the world. Says the Targum, quoted by Rashi, Ziv, light, it's not just some metaphor. Light dispels darkness. Why is it that Hashem made darkness and light? Why is it that we fall asleep? Why is it that there's such a thing as night and such a thing as day? Wouldn't it be better if we could just drink coffee? I don't know, why does the battery need to run out and then be recharged? Wouldn't it make sense? Well, it's like Hashem is like Steve Jobs, like made the battery so schwach that it's going to have to fail, so you have to buy a new one every couple of years. Why is it the body is made in such a way that it has to end? So Rabbi Leibel Eger explains because. No, a person should know. Shivisi Hashem Lanegdi Tamin. Hashem is always with us. When things are not going so great, we're struggling, and there's difficulty, and it's hard, and there's failures, just know the day is going to end. We're going to go to sleep, we're going to wake up in the morning and start again. There's going to be darkness, there's going to be light, and that's called a day. That's the way Hashem created the world. There are downs and there are ups. There's cycles in history, in world history, in human history, in Jewish history, in our own personal lives. There's ups and there's downs. There's night and there's day. Night always represents a time of Michuk. Yaakov Avinu was afraid to go to Hashem came to Bamaros Laila before going down to Mitzrayim, before entering Golos, which is a time of night. And Tziv says he was afraid. And Hashem says, Altira, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Anochi Eire, I'll go down to Mitzrayim, Anochi. I'm going to come up with you. I'm there with you at night in the darkness, and I'm going to be with you in the daytime too. Says Rashi and the Targum on these psukim about Chodesh Ziv. The Gemara tells us that these are the nitzanaya. The same way a tree goes through a stage where its leaves fall off and it's not bearing fruit and it looks dead. Because it's winter time, it's the night time of the seasons. It looks dead, it's not giving shade. What's the purpose of this tree?
At the end of the winter comes spring. The sap rises and the buds begin to appear, says Rashi, the same way that the rays of light slowly but surely dispel darkness. Nitzanaya, the Nitzanim, the buds begin to appear after a winter and show that there's renewal, that there's hope, that there's starting again, that there's a beginning again, that there's a flourishing, there's something starting. We make a bracha on that, by the way. During Nisan, you made the fruit bracha? That was one I saw when I was, here, Shana Aleph. I saw somebody had a sign. I don't remember exactly which neighborhood Shalom was in Harnof or Bayfagan. It might have been right near here. I remember it, there was a big sign somebody's fence that said you can make the bracha on the trees, the bracha silalos. So you know that bracha? It's in the art school. It's a real thing. I almost thought it was made up. I never heard it before. I never saw it before. I never heard it. You know what I'm talking about? He said it is. Yeah. It's a great one. It's a killer blessing. That's one of the best. So I always, that's my dream. I always like, okay, I want to do this when I move. This we did. We have one. We have put a little sign on our outside fence because we have a couple fruit trees. It's a bracha that we can make for Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And there's nothing lacking in God's world. That God created the world in such a way for us to enjoy. It's a beautiful bracha. It's a flowery bracha. No pun intended. It really is. It's right. I mean, it's one of these like. It's a close second to that. Tzadikim sitting b'Yisroseim al Rosheim on Pesach night that I get so excited about, and I always distracted during that part eventually to get into. But what a bracha! That after this long winter, the trees are back, and then Hashem created a world where everything is here for us to enjoy beautiful trees and beautiful fruits. The only problem is, when we say that bracha during Nisan HaChadosh Geula, there's no fruits on the trees. There's not shade. The tree hasn't reached its potential. The purpose of the tree is to give fruit, to give shade. Yeah? It's not doing either. There's a flower there, and inside of the flower, when the petals fall off, there's going to be something that emerges that will hopefully turn into some type of a fruit. But it's not there yet. It's a stage of on the way to being there, hopefully, Emir Tzashem. This is our third year now that we've said the bracha standing right between our clementina tree and our rimon tree. And the last 2 years, the clementina has beautiful, beautiful flowers on it during this time. But it doesn't. There's been no clementine, none. Oh my darling, nothing. No clementino on that tree. And yet we're still making this extravagant, beautiful, lengthy bracha about Hashem's beautiful world that nothing's lacking. The problem is it didn't happen yet. But apparently Chazal have a little bit of like a sense of taking steps back and taking steps forward and recognizing that there's such a thing as appreciating stages. That there's such a thing as expressing hope and a ray of light, and a ray of life, whether it's a ray from the Ziv or the Nitzanaya, the buds that are starting to flourish. No one stands by that tree and says, this is the goal of the tree. There's not fruit here. There's not shade here. But there's a step. So I'm thanking Hashem. And recognizing that step comes from Hashem. Just like, I had this like conversation with one of my kids. She's very, very honest. She's very honest. She said, listen, every year we count Sfiras HaEmor. Every year we get excited in the beginning. And every year I forget one day. And then it's a Friday, so there's not school. Or it's Shabbos, I didn't make a Friday. And then I end up like, I don't continue. So what's the point of doing it if every year, midway, I drop the ball? This is a 15-year-old. I'm not saying it out from cynicism. I'm saying it from honesty. It's like, if Hashem wants us to count the Kabbalah Satorah, I'm not going to make it there, count the bracha, so I shouldn't count with the bracha at all, because there are opinions that it's a bracha levatala. So I'm pushing all that every day is its own thing, a bracha. She's not buying. She's not, let's be honest. If there's a potential for me, for potential retroactively for it to be bracha levatala, maybe I shouldn't say, I'll count without a bracha from the beginning. It's a good question, no? Sharp. Maybe my parents said, whatever, we all get what we deserve. So I said, but else, every day is its own day. Let's say it doesn't happen. Let's say we don't get the Shavuos happen. But day one doesn't count, day two doesn't count, day three doesn't count. How meaningful is day 49 if day 13, day 12, day 11 is? Let's take every single day as it comes. Let's take every day as it comes and thank Hashem every day. She's like, okay, no, we'll put a sign. She's like, we usually have it on the refrigerator. But like, you know, when you come to the refrigerator, you're looking for food. We put it on the door, you're looking to just get out of the door. You don't look at the door. She's like, maybe let's see if we could put it somewhere that we'll remember every day. I said, okay, good. That's already a good svar. That's already a good, you know, that's already a good, you know, piece of advice. But to appreciate that every single day is a step. And just because it's not the whole thing, you might not get the whole thing. Who knows what's going to be? Hello? How about today? How about this step? In Jewish history, this is a month of taking steps. From Shlomo HaMelech to Yusuf Beis Avaya, the Chodesh HaSheni, to Ezra, who came back to Eretz HaKodesh with a bunch of Jews who were married to non-Jewish women. They weren't eating, well, not that they were eating Rabbanut Hashgachas. It's not that they were, like, you know, going out of town after Mishnah. They were shiksas. They were non-Jewish women. They were idolaters. They were women who were doing idolatry. These were Jews who were enjoying the Seuda of Achashverosh. They were eating a meal off of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash while Achashverosh was taunting them wearing the garments of the Kohen Gadol. Why is this generation deserving of destruction? I mean, you know, the Gemara says it pretty clearly. Because they turned their back on Jewish history. They turn their back on their faith. Ezra and Nehemiah schlep these Jews back to Eretz HaKodesh during this month, begin to build the Beis HaMikdash. Who was building that Beis HaMikdash? Who were the tzaddikim, the chassidim of Anshei Maisa that the Rambam describes dancing at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Was it the jugglers who had tasted prophecy in the courtyard of the temple? No, at best it was a bunch of Jews who had assimilated and got schlepped back by a prophet, as well as quite a few foreign workers, goyim, Gentiles. I don't know, they're circumcised, not circumcised, I don't know, you got to the Rambam Yomi. But they were foreign workers, they were goyim. And these goyim and lahavdil, Jews who had assimilated, were a motley crew that Ezra and Nehemiah mobilized to build the Beis HaMikdash. So, okay, all right, new. B'dieved, no? Hold on. Let me hear. Let's see a noisometer. L'chadchila or b'dieved? L'chadchila. Who says l'chadchila? Who says that's l'chadchila? Let's hear a noisometer. Last filling. Who says l'chadchila? Anybody? Who says b'dieved? B'dieved or l'chadchila? Idolaters? Men with non-Jewish women. Many of them kept their non-Jewish women. They were involved in the Beis HaMikdash, and they're going home afterwards, the shiksa wives. Understand? Not that they were lax on tznius. Non-Jewish women. You understand? L'chachila or b'dieved? B'dieved kipshuta, no? So, okay, new. So you get, so what do? You take a bottle of grape juice, say, l'chaim, okay, we're back to Yerushalayim, but, you know, this is the way the prophet describes it. The Levium always represent that tribe who did not falter, the ones who did not assimilate, they did not give in. They were the Hasidim v'Anshei Ma'aseh of the generation. They were the ones from the time of the Chetayim Gimel, Chetayim Egel, through the times of the Beis HaMikdash. The Levium are the ones who always kept faithful. V'Halevium b'nei Asaf v'Metzilatayim took the instruments and gathered the people together. Wahala l'shem Hashem al yidei David melech Yisrael. V'yanu b'halal v'hodos l'Hashem kitov ki la'olam chazdol Yisrael. They didn't go halfway. They didn't serve a milchik meal. They went all the way. They went all the way. I'll call up basta. They said, chazdei Hashem, we're back in Eretz HaKodesh. Chazdei Hashem, we're here. Now, does this negate the fact that there was still a lot to work, and a lot to fix, and a lot to deal with, and a lot to improve on? That there was still diamond that needed to be polished? That there was still improvements that needed to be made? Still tikkunim and rectification that had to happen? Is this what we say, is this the goal? This is the way the Ribbono Shel Olam envisioned his nation? This is our dream? to come back. Half, a whole bunch stayed back. A whole bunch who came were married to goyim, and they're the ones, they still have the taste from Achashverosh's meal in their mouth. A shattered people who slept into Eretz HaKodesh because Ezra and Nehemiah guilted them into it or whatever. The Levim didn't seem to hold back in their celebration. L'hodos l'halel l'Hashem kitov kilolom chazdo al Yisrael. Who mentioned before Pesach Sheni? Also during the year, yeah? What's Pesach Sheni? Bless you. What's Pesach Sheni?
Opportunity for someone who missed out on the Korban Pesach to do it.
Why they miss out?
They're Tomei.
They're Tomei. Why are they Tomei?
They were doing a mitzvah.
So was it, is that fair? If a person's doing a mitzvah, what were they doing? They're taking the Atzmos Yosef. They're taking the Atzmos Yosef. They're involved with pallbearers. The commentary, they're pallbearers, essentially. They're involved with taking up, fulfilling the promise that was made to Yosef at Tzadik. They're taking care of that. They're osik b'mitzvah, so pater mina mitzvah, right? They were involved in something, but on a technicality, it's like they got them. It's like they got the gangster on tax evasion. They got them on a technicality. You really pater. You pater, but you're not, you know, you're tamei, so you can't bring the korban pesach, right? I mean, whoever they're tamei, they're not allowed to. Why can't a person who's tamei bring the korban? Tomentara. Can't come both in that time of history, and also ultimately you can't come up to the Beis HaMikdash when a person's in the place of Toma. The Ish B'Zir explains that when that a Kohen Gadol can't come in contact with death, because of the Kohen, when you come in contact with death, it affects us. Kohen Gadol has to come to the Mokam HaMikdash and serve Klal Yisrael with love and with joy, with a whole heart, yeah. Clear with Hashem, and death can shake that up. Death can create questions. Death can create distance. Death can create a void of relationship between man and God. It can. A person can be bitter. It can be angry. That's why Chazal established that if God forbid a person loses someone who's close to them, but before Kvura, before Shiva, there's a stage called Aninus where we kind of give space for the anger or the uncertainty or the pain or the confusion or the shock to express itself, and that person is put there from doing positive commandments during that time. During those days, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Jews who had brought up Atzmos Yosef, who were tamei from bringing him and not able to bring the Korban Pesach, so you're put there, go home. What happened?
They requested something to do
again. Why?
They thought they were missing out.
They said, Lamanigaro, why should we miss out? Why should we miss out? We came in, we were in the middle of something. Why should we miss out? So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in this new Yom Tov, kind of like this new opportunity, the festival of the second chance, so to speak, called Pesach Sheni, a month later, all those who were Tamei on Pesach are now able to have the opportunity to draw close and be close to Hashem in this way, the way that they missed out. Why? Because they screamed out, Lama Nigara, during the month of Iyar. There's a lot of different points here. Imagine, like, not that anybody saw those detective shows, but you know what I'm talking about. They have, like, the big bulletin board. They have, okay, we have something that took place here in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar of counting the Jewish people. And then 40 years, 80 years later, we have another moment here. We have another moment here of Shlomo HaMelech laying the foundations and building the temple. And then we have, after the Churban, we have Ezra returning to Eretz Israel, and we have this Bracha, Nisa, a time of Geula that insists that we respect stages, developments and stages. We have something that goes through the entirety of this month called Sfiras HaOmer, where we're counting little by little. We have the Avos HaKadoshim that are born during this time, and we have a time called Ziv, of illumination, radiating, which the Targum and Rashi quotes has to do with flourishing that takes place in stages. And we have the yearning of the Jews during the time of Kippur Moshe Rabbeinu, Pesach Sheni. Can I just take a station a moment for station identification for a second over here, if you don't mind? I'm not a person of great shittos. I haven't reached
a sense of clarity in most of the major questions that face a man approaching 40, let alone that have to do with like the major issues in Klal Yisrael. I'm really not. Trying to figure things out. I've got a good wife. That's really the main thing. We're trying to figure it out together. What Hashem wants from us, with different things that happen in our life, kind of like, you know, the pathway toward serving Hashem in the deepest way, the most real way, and there's different variables in everybody's life. But also, originally wanted me to come, you know, a big pump up from Yom HaTzmonim. I said, I said, get somebody who's a Baal Shitta who's going to come in and tell you, Yom HaTzmonim here. Tell Yom HaTzmonim here, we have a paper that says the 10 things that we believe about Yom HaTzmonim, and this is the 10 things you believe about Yom HaTzmonim, is how you're supposed to handle it. I said, I'm not that guy. I'm in the middle over here. I'm not the guy to talk to you about Hallel, about not Hallel. I'm too young. I don't have the experience. I haven't taken 3 steps back in the deepest way. I'm not a history major in YU, and I like reading books, but new. No. I haven't been on the earth long enough to really have figured it out yet. No, really not that much. Yom Yerushalayim, I can tell you what I've read. I can tell you what I've heard. I can tell you what I've seen. But what I do know is that if Cook writes, and it resonated the first time I learned this, is that when the Jewish people come from a place of darkness to light, from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu, Hashem came to Yaakov, Maros Laila, it has nothing to do with a state, and certainly nothing to do with Beis HaMikdash, Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha Shnia, none of those questions were applicable. It was before the descent to Mitzrayim. Hashem came to Yaakov Amaros Laila because he was already worrying about Chutz La'aretz. Chutz La'aretz is a place of Laila, and Eretz Yisrael is a place of light. Rav Kook writes that when the Jewish nation is restored to their land, when we return to our natural place, so there's a tremendous birur that takes place. There's a lot that has to get clear. Meaning the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu, one of the ways that Moshe pleads our defense before Hashem by Chet Ayin Gimel, by the Chet Ha'egel, is that, listen, what do you want? So Orsha B'Issa, there's a Yetzahara, what do you want? There's the Shibin Malchus, what do you want? You put a big bunch of meat in front of a lion, of course it's going to roar. We're victims of our circumstance and reality of the fact that for 2,000 years we haven't been in a natural way. We've created new systems to kind of try to stand in for that. New modes of dress, and new modes of prayer, new modes of religious expression, new cultural norms, and we have certain foods and customs and language that we've developed in these lands, but they're foreign. They've become what we imagine to be authentic, but baloney. My chavrusa is a Yerushalmi, he's a Jew, Yerushalmi Yid, who goes to Yerushalmi Levush, and born and bred 7 generations in Yerushalayim. He goes to the Levush, and the 26 different Levush, and the Yerushalayim, the whole thing. He knows that it comes from, that it was adopted, that the Levush and the Shtreimel was adopted as a reaction to the way the Gentiles were degrading us 200 years ago in Russia and in Poland. He knows that. It's become the authentic expression of his Yiddishkeit, because in lieu of a Beis HaMikdash, in lieu of our natural lifestyle in Eretz HaKodesh, we've had to adopt. We go shopping in Old Navy, in the Gap, or whatever. In Bauer, or whatever. We've adopted their ways. In Malasot, where it is. And now that we've been restored to Eretz HaKodesh, there's a restoration to the land of Israel. Incomplete, and not exactly the way we might have, you know, painted a picture of it if we were working in laboratory conditions, if we were able to, like, you know, make a model of what we want it to look like. There's a tremendous bureau, there's a lot of clarification that needs to take place. And Rav Kook writes that the primary way that expresses itself is in intuition. Intuition. You know what intuition means? What's intuition?
Kishkes, God, that inside voice. The restoration of the Jewish people on the land of Israel brings with it a restoration of intuition. Now what that means is that it's hard then to receive instruction from outside in. That means, at least for me, it's very difficult to subscribe to Shittos. In general, but especially during these days, Shittos. Because Shittos come and go. What I do know is a little bit, just reading the books of Jewish history and paying attention, is that following the Holocaust, decimation of over a third of world Jewry, which is beyond words and beyond comprehension, after a couple of thousand years in an unnatural way of being foreigners in foreign lands, being subjected to the worst of Shibud Malchus, it is hard to expect of us as a nation to have it figured out so quickly. To know exactly what Hashem wants from us, and this is what Hashem does not want from us. Ratzon Hashem can be expressed in many different ways. We're making a bracha, shalom chiser ba'olam ha'klum, and Hashem gave a beautiful world and everything is hunky-dory and great. We're not even sure if this flower is going to turn into a fruit. But we say thank you. We appreciate where we are. We appreciate that right now there's a flower on the tree. That after the Holocaust, in such a short way, in a span of literally, historically speaking, not even the blink of an eye, that Jewish sovereignty is restored in the land of Israel is something which boggles the mind. For anyone who has any sense at all of Jewish history or world history, that a nation can fall and rise in such a way, it boggles the mind. To not be able to say that there's hashgacha here is kfira at best. Idiocy. Lunacy. Lunacy. Hashgacha is in everything. There's hashgachas Hashem in everything. In a leaf that falls and lands on a worm, to be able to... There's hashgacha there. Be able to not have... It's the case of the ultimate cognitive dissonance. Because I don't like what that means for the people who are involved in that, or I don't approve of the way those people are, or what they represent, or how they came about it, so I'm going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because there was a tremendous amount of kfira and rebellion against God by many of the founders of the State of Israel, and there was... And there is, Ad Hayom Hazeh, a rebellion against the Ribono Shel Olam, and in many cases, an institutionalized rebellion against tradition and God. So therefore, I'm not comfortable. I have to throw the baby out of the bathwater? That's if we have Shittos. For a person who's striving to develop, and forgive, this is again the opinion of one person. I'm also not getting paid to do this work. You know what I'm saying? I feel bad. For an intuitive sense, it's very hard to buy that. I'm not just telling you what to think about these days and how to maximize Yom Ha'atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim, but I do know that to be a Jew means to be a person who's alive and trying to live with the pulse, the divine pulse. To not take a step back, two steps back, three steps back, and say, Me'es Hashem, Ha'es Hazos, holy cow. Ribono Shel Olam. Restored some sense of Jewish life and living in the land of Israel, some form of Jewish expression, the government that will be able, in the course of a few years, be able to live the way we're living and see Torah flourishing and Jewish life flourishing here in Eretz Israel in an imperfect way. In an imperfect way. In a way still trying to, like, you see, every single step of the way trying to, like, figure out how not to be a Golistic Jew in a time of Gula or a Gula to Kajun, in a time of Golos, somewhere between, like Lubavitcher Rebbe said, the last generation of exile and the first generation of redemption, it's Or V'choshech B'irbuvia. Because when the light begins at the end of night, Nayarayel Rashachat comes, is it night, is it day, is it day, is it night, is it too early? It's still not night, but it's not time for Krishna. In other words, there's a lot of confusion. And in the context of Jewish history, we are still living in those days. 70 years is not... It's not a chatikah religious kabbalah in the context of Jewish history. Things are happening very fast in real time, and it's not a dress rehearsal. So yeah, there's an element of kochiv etzem yaldi, which is rebellion against God. But that's not what we're buying into. That's not the narrative that we're living with. So you say, if you get it, the whole thing is no good. As if to say, that if because there are a group of people in the world who are mechallel Shabbos, who believe in this, so I can't, they believe in it, I can't believe it. If they're connected to it or a part of it, I don't want to have anything to be part of it. What happens if every person was mechallel? What happens if every single Jew in this country, from the most left to the most anti to the most, they're such putting the mezuzah on their house, we should take the mezuzah off our house. Or starts putting tefillin every single day. Everybody starts to put on tefillin. For whatever reason, somebody decided, hey, everybody's put on tefillin. So I shouldn't wear tefillin because they're wearing tefillin. And he has pasal shittas. He's no good in many other areas of his life. But Ezra didn't build a base on mikdash where the people were married to idolaters. Lama nigara. The Jewish people tasted death for thousands of years. For 2,000 years we suffered. We came out of Golos broken, with questions, angry with an alienation of the Chil Hashem of 2,000 years. We come back up to Eretz HaKodesh, and there's a group of Jews who say, Lama Nigara. And it didn't start, Reshit Tzmichat Gulatenu, yes or no, it didn't start 69 years ago. Are you telling me Rav Mendel Shklov and Rav Menachem Mendel Vitebsker, 200 years ago, Talmidim of Hashem, Talmidim of the Gra, and Yehuda Alevi, and the Ramban, and the Rambam, and Rav Yosef Karo, it's okay, there's sovereignty, and there's the trappings of a state. We live in a real world. We're not the Moroccan who say, better let us stay in Chutz La'aretz because there's a system here of clouds and a pillar of fire. No, we're here, we're in Eretz HaKodesh. There's real roads, there's real taxes, there's real wars to be fought. There's sweetness and there's a lot of sting. It's part of life here. It's part of what it means to be neshama b'guf, a human being in the world. But during this month, with all these different points on the calendar of different stages of development, an individual's role, and a flowering that matters, and a way of life that matters, and a kedushas Yisrael that comes from our avos, that's a Yerusha, not earned because of our actions, but because of who we are, from Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Rachel Imenu, that we are yin because that's our birthright, that's our identity, that's what we inherited. So if a Jew wants to come up and build Eretz Israel, regardless of their shittas, what they do on Saturday, what they eat, lama nigara, isn't there some place at the Jewish table for a Jew's tamei lemeis? Aren't they part of Klal Yisrael too? And why throw the baby out with the bathwater? It just doesn't. It's counterintuitive, and that's the goal of this restoration of Jewish life in Eretz HaKodesh, to restore intuition. And we need Chachmei Yisrael, Gedolei Yisrael, Tzadikim, Talmidei Chachamim, to help guide us. And thank God we have a vibrant system called Torah, called Judaism, where we have disagreement, we have definitive disagreement. And often it looks like there's many saying one thing and less saying another thing. It doesn't bother us in many areas of Jewish life and living. It doesn't bother us in many other areas of Jewish life and living. We have a notion of Eil v'Eil D'Ril Kim Chaim. We have a notion that we're not sure all the time. Ratzon Hashem can be refracted and reflected in many ways. And throwing a baby out with the bathwater is not part of the Jewish experience. And to be able to knowingly close one's eyes to the Chazde Hashem, to the Chesed Hashem, the Machzer Shechinos L'Tzion, even in the context of uncertainty and imperfection, and it's not exactly the way we might have wanted it had we been able to sit in a laboratory and define it. It seems to be a little bit of a disrespect to Jewish history, Jewish destiny. Hilul of Rashbi, that's taking place in Lag BaOmer. The light of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is as we get closer to Mashiach, we're seeing more and more and more of a yearning for the world of inner Torah. Reb Kook writes that this is a natural thing because we start to see that outsides don't hold, And that if we really want to stay strong in our Yiddishkeit, we want to stay strong in our traditions and our customs, we have to build an inner world. That inner world is represented, the dichotomy is reflected between the difference in Torah Sheba'al Peh and Torah Shebichtav, between the Torah Chutz La'aretz and Torah Eretz Yisrael. Rav Shlomo Bar Yochai was a Jew of Eretz HaKodesh who was concealed, was on the lam because of his commitment to Eretz HaKodesh in the face of an external influence on the land. The light of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, fire of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, is a fire of Pnimiyas HaTorah that every single one of us has a relationship with. There's not two worlds, that there's those who like Nigla and those who like Nister. Just keep in mind, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo, also has a sefer of his conversations with some type of an angel. It's also part of the narrative. There's a pardes that we go through, and it's all part of the same story. It's all part of the same unit, called Torah. Then Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that the headquarters of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, unlike Ba'omer, is during this month of Iyar also... Another post-it note on our blackboard of trying to put things together, of our pushbook. More than any other figure in Jewish history, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai came at a time of desperation, of darkness, literally. The Klal Yisrael going to Golus, and a fear and a concern that the decentralization of Torah, of Jewish leadership, and Torah was going to lead to the Jewish people turning their back on Yiddishkeit. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai stood up and said, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The Jewish people will always be connected to Torah. Because whatever is taking place on the outside, like eating at the Seudah of Haman, of Achashverosh and bowing down to Haman, is only external, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says. On the inside, a Jew is on fire. Maybe on the outside, they're marching in May Day parades, or rolling around in foam doing God knows what. Roasting bunnies, literally, during the Six-Day War, roasting wild pigs that they were catching in the forest, on the other, maybe whatever, but that's on the outside, Rashbi says. On the inside, there's a secret level, there's a concealed level that's taking place inside of a cave, inside of the heart of a Jew, where a yid is on fire for God. During the month of Iyar, that fire, that light, begins to express itself. Historically, by Amim Ayim Bazman Hazeh, from the 5th of Iyar and the restoration of Jewish sovereignty, to the 28th of Iyar, the unification of Yerushalayim, and the restoration of the Bible Belt, all of Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Yeshua comes back to life, which gives us that opportunity. Hanan Porat said, running through Yerushalayim, Chibur writing in the next chapter in Tanakh. That chapter was written. There's another chapter in Jewish history that's being written right now, is how are we relating to this? Are we going to... Now listen carefully. If you haven't been with now, listen carefully. Are we going to attach ourselves to the chitzonius shebedvarim, to the outsides of it, on any side of the issue? Or are we going to relate ourselves, to connect ourselves to what's happening in Pnimius? Where's the Ribono Shel Olam in all of this? Rav Shach was no lover of secular Zionism. You heard of Rav Shach? Yes? Rav Shach was one of the great leaders of the Torah community in the last generation. Just know, it's not lost on him. I just finished reading like 3 books on Rav Shach. Whenever I feel like I know better than some of them, I clearly don't. I try to learn them more, have a little bit of hachna. It's hard for me. I have a lot of books about the Satmar Rav, a lot of books about Rav Shach. I'm reading these books. You listen to something unbelievable about Rav Shach. Rav Shach was the great, was Zionism, Chassidus, I mean, all the things that are like my, but I mean, I'm saying, like, you can't find, like, you know what I'm saying? Rav Shach would look at me as like a pity on somebody like me, maybe. On Yom Yerushalayim, the days before Yom Yerushalayim, Rav Shach was here, and that was here somewhere. He was visiting Yerushalayim. But there was a gathering of Mechanchim. Rav Shach had certain ties to the community that was celebrating Yom Yerushalayim as an important day. And Ponovich, it was a regular day of learning. When the Ponovich Rav was around, perhaps it might have been a little bit different. But in this generation, it was a day of regular learning. hawk about the flag. Not the flag, it's really irrelevant. Not irrelevant, but for this story it is. The Shach was openly antagonistic to all symbols of any type of recognition that this is a day of divine import. I'm not sure, I mean, I assume that he saw the letter that Rav Eliashiv wrote when he was younger, that it was Nitzanin Ruba Haaretz, and that this is a day of flowering of redemption, and this is Ayom HaSar Hashem Megillah V'Nismachavo, and whatever, but people change, people grow, people develop, people, whatever. Rav Shach came to these group of, he saw that there was a flyer hanging, that on Yom Yerushalayim, the 28th of the year, there was going to be some type of a soccer tournament. So Rav Shach had this flyer, and he went to where these group of Mechanchim in the Dati Lumi system were involved, where we're meeting, and he came to them and said, listen, Mela, you know, my boys in our yeshiva, this is not a day that we're doing anything different. Not in davening, not with a barbecue, not a walking tour, not with a speaker, Shachris Min Chamar, morning, afternoon, and night, say. But by you, this is a day that's important, that you think, that you see the hand of God expressing itself. It's a day of Avodas Hashem, it's a day of Hashkacha for you, the day that you put significance into military action and political amount. So this is so playing soccer is not the way to express that. Do something meaningful, extra learning, whatever. However you do it, but playing, running around, kicking a ball around is not the. So I'm not from Ponovich. I'm not from that. I kick the ball around a lot in many areas of life. My kids. Home. All right, go ahead. I do. Someone who's gone to Cafe Rimon and hung out with their wife, Shach is not necessarily writing my play, but understand the way a tzaddik sees the world, understand the way a gadol b'Yisrael sees the world. This is not my way. But if it's your way, then do it with panemius. Do it for real. Do it in a heart-sicker way. Do it with depth. Connect to it from the inside out. Grab onto some outside symbol. There's a cry of the pioneers screaming Lama Nigara after 2,000 years. We have the schus, we have the opportunity, we have the challenge, we also have the good fortune to be able to be alive at such a time. The time of the Birurim of the Moshe Mashiach. Unprecedented developments. Unprecedented turn in history. Chazdei Shamayim. Is it the building of the third Beis HaMikdash? Yeah, we all believe that. In what stage of development? I don't know. Speak to your Rebbeim and you'll hear lots of different opinions, I'm sure. And you'll hear from other Rebbeim and other places, and you'll hear lots of other different opinions, I'm sure. Part of the reason why these days are so divisive, I believe, is because it's like the Ribbono Shel Olam is setting the table for us to develop our own intuition. To speak to the Chachmei Yisrael, to learn Jewish history, to learn Torah, to be matar ourselves, to polish the diamond during Sfiras HaOmer, counting every single day, making every day count, slowly but surely toward our goal of Kabbalah Sattara, not just as individuals, but as a nation. Our goal is not just to live as a holy nation in the land of Israel, it's to perfect the entire world. That's also part of our narrative. And if it's confusing, and there's ups and downs, and there's night, and there's dawn, and there's ups and downs, and ins and outs, and strikes and gutters along the way, that's part of the narrative. That's part of the way Hashem made the world. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it is. You go to sleep at night, wake up in the morning. There's darkness, there's light. This is a month of tremendous light. Of Ziv, the Avos coming into the world and being Mashush and us, Kedushas Yisrael. What we do with it, how we express it, the choices that we make, and taking advantage of the opportunities, Lag BaOmer and Pesach Sheni and Heiyar and Kav Ches Iyar and every single day of Sfiras HaOmer is only something that every single one of us can choose. Hashem should help us. We should see open divine kindness. And we should see the open hand of Hashem in everything that we do. And Bez Hashem, we'll make it together to Kabbalah Satora. It should be with Simcha and Pnimius in everything that we do. No.